Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia for this Thursday, January 26th in Hong Kong, Wednesday, January 25th in New York. And coming up this hour,
Tesla is seeking to boost output quickly after the EV maker reported better than expected profits last quarter.
Fed Vice Chair Lael Brainard appears to be a top contender to head President Biden's Economic Council.
And ASML says limiting China's access to certain technologies will have unintended consequences.
U.S. and Germany announced the sending of heavy tanks to Ukraine. Russia says the West is escalating the war. China says it sees a major decline in severe COVID cases. I'm Ed Baxter with Global News.
Novak Djokovic moves on to the semis of the Australian Open in dominating fashion. I'm Dan Schwartzman. I'll have that story and more coming up in Bloomberg Sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Doug Krisner.
And I'm Brian Curtis. Here are the stories we're following today. We do have earnings to get right to. Here, Tesla reporting better than expected profits in the latest quarter. It signaled strength to a degree as the company faces growing questions about car buyer demand for its all-electric vehicle lineup. Let's get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The Austin, Texas-based company reported adjusted earnings per share of $1.19, beating the $1.12 a share average of analyst estimates compiled by Bloomberg. The EV market leader says it will increase output, quote, as quickly as possible, in line with previous guidance for average annual growth of 50% over multiple years. It also says it is on track to deliver about 1.8 million vehicles this year. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Well, thank you, Charlie. Now, a key question going forward is whether there's some downside risk for corporate earnings in 2023. The CIO of Nuveen, Sarah Malik, says the answer is yes. And for that reason, she's making the case for fixed income.
Just looking at rate hikes going forward, about 50 more basis points expected from the Fed. So that's starting to move behind us. You can start to increase some of your duration in fixed income and get strong total returns in it without a lot of these heavy macro risks that are going to hit equity. So earnings risk in some of these other areas, the consumer slowdown and that impact on revenue growth and all of that with equities, considering their valuations, is less attractive.
That is Sarah Malik there from Nuveen. By the way, Bloomberg Intelligence says fourth quarter earnings for the tech firms within the S&P 500 are projected to have fallen 9.2% from last year. Here's the thing. Just 3 months ago, those profits were expected to be flat.
Well, shares in Adani Group companies fell. That's after the U.S. investor Hindenburg Research said it was shorting the conglomerate stocks. It accused firms owned by Asia's richest man, Gautam Adani, of brazen market manipulation and accounting fraud. Adani Group CFO Jushinder Singh later rejected the claims.
What they, the report is suggesting that Adani Group companies have created shell companies in UAE, Caribbean Islands, and Mauritius, which is leading to tax theft, corruption, and money laundering. However, the Adani Group CFO has countered that he has denied all this allegation, and he had said, also criticized the timing of this landing of this report, because January 25th is the day the flagship company of Adani Group, Adani Enterprises, is launching its follow-on offer, which is going to be the largest follow-on offer in India.
Adani Group financial officer Jushinder Singh. Bloomberg data, by the way, shows the market value of 10 Adani-owned stocks was eroded by about $12 billion in Wednesday's trading.
Well, the Dutch chip-making equipment company ASML says limiting China's access to certain technologies will have unintended consequences. We have more from Bloomberg's Annabelle Droolers.
The Biden administration is leading an effort to curb exports of chip manufacturing equipment to China. The Netherlands and Japan are expected to join in, but ASML CEO Peter Wennick says the measures could eventually push Beijing to create its own technology. Simply put, he says if China cannot get access to those machines, the country will create their own. Even so, Wennick admits the complex supply chain, combined with the know-how required to recreate advanced chipmaking technology, will be a massive challenge. Wennick is also critical of export control for other reasons. He says chip availability could be reduced, and limiting access means a less efficient infrastructure, and cost will very likely go up. In Hong Kong, I'm Annabelle Droulis, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Meantime, in Europe, Germany's business outlook brightened further. A gauge of expectations by the Ifo Institute rose to 86.4 in January from 83.2 the previous month. We heard from Ifo President Clemens Fuest.
Companies are telling us they are optimistic regarding the next 6 months, and that suggests overall we will avoid a technical recession. The most important risk for the German economy was a gas rationing scenario. So that risk is off the table now due to the mild weather. Gas storage is full.
Fuest also said that he expects a shrinking economy in the first quarter, but that will be followed by an improvement towards the summer.
Well, back here in the States, we are hearing that Fed Vice Chair Lael Brainard is now a top contender to become the head of the National Economic Council. The role within the White House will be vacated by Brian Deese at an undetermined time. Here's Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern.
We should note no decisions have been made, and there are other names that have been thrown around, like Gene Sperling, like Wally Adeyemo. But right now, what you potentially could see in the coming weeks is that the Fed's number two becomes the number one economic voice in the West Wing. This is on top of a little bit of a shakeup at the White House, which is pretty much natural when you have after a midterm election and 2 years of an administration.
That is Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern. By the way, if Brainard is appointed, that would open a slot on the Fed's seven-member board. Now, President Biden would then need to find a successor who could win the full backing of the U.S. Senate. Brian, we are a week away from the next Fed decision, but if you're talking central banks, I think it was the BOC moving markets today.
Yeah, that was very interesting because all along it has been out in front, and this would be the first pause by the G7 central banks, and it has led the Fed, so it may send a strong message.
All right, let's update global news next here on Daybreak Asia. Ukraine will soon be getting some of the heavy artillery and tanks it's been seeking for months. Ed Baxter with more from the Bloomberg Newsroom in San Francisco. Eddie.
Yeah, exactly right, Douglas. This comes as the U.S. and Germany broker a deal to include tanks from a number of NATO countries. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz.
Our goal is to quickly provide two tank battalions together with our allies. There are many countries that would like to supply, and we will coordinate that and involve them to make that happen step by step.
Yeah, so with that, U.S. President Joe Biden.
Today, I'm announcing that the United States will be sending 31 Abram tanks to Ukraine.
Yeah, and along with training Ukrainian forces and the use of them, he says. Now, Biden says it also sends a strong message that the U.S. and NATO are united in their full support of Ukraine's ability to defend itself and conduct counteroffensives.
The expectation on the part of Russia is we're going to break up. We're not going to stay united, but we are fully, thoroughly, totally united.
Yeah, he says, as is the globe now against Russia, Biden did stress that these weapons are not to be used in launching first strike, but in defense and counterattack. So what does this change? Well, Rose Gottmuller, who is a former NATO Deputy Secretary General, now a professor at Stanford.
I think it'll make a difference because these are the most capable battle tanks in the world today. The Leopards are well known for being reliable, for being capable. And I think the fact that they are deployed across the European NATO allies and also NATO partners such as Finland, who have offered up tanks.
She says expectations are that Russia will launch major offensives in the coming months. And Gottlieb says she feels it will make NATO stronger, this agreement. Delivery of tanks will take those months. The training begins now. Russia? Well, Russia's decrying the decision, saying this is proof that, in fact, the West is escalating the war. And Russian activist hackers have knocked German websites offline. In response to the decision, Germany's BSI cyber agency says the digital blitz has had little tangible effect. China says a number of COVID-related deaths and severe cases in hospitals have declined by more than 70%. from peak levels in January. It says daily fatalities in hospitals slid to 896 as of Monday, down from over 4,200 January 4th. Now, China's numbers have been questioned by the World Health Organization, which would like to see more data. And the Meta platforms are going to end Donald Trump's suspension. Facebook says it will have it back up in the coming weeks. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter. This is Bloomberg.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. I'm Brian Curtis, along with Rashad Salamat. Let's get to our guest, Sylvia Jablonski, co-founder, CEO, and CIO at Defiance ETFs. Well, Sylvia, we seem to be in a kind of muted reaction phase. We thought maybe Microsoft's guidance yesterday, the week of guidance, would lead to a sell-off today, but didn't happen, really. Microsoft was down about 0.6%. Is this because, to a certain degree, with the huge losses we saw last year, Microsoft down some 30% or so, Tesla down 2/3, that a lot of this is in the price?
Yeah, good evening. I think you make a great point there. You know, we had a nice start to the year, particularly with the NASDAQ up and looking to recover on some of those tech stocks that were just hammered last year to the tune of 20 to 50% or more. And I think, you know, the Microsoft news, initially you saw stocks really selling off. You saw, you know, futures pointed sort of grossly low, and the morning was a little bit rough with this. And so I think that ignited concerns that the market generals were struggling as, you know, rates have been rising and recession fears are growing. But I do think that investors who are interested in tech for the long term perhaps came off the sidelines a little bit and thought, you know, while the outlook is sort of bleak for the next year or two, this sector has been beat up so much. So much of it is in the price already. And here's an opportunity to, you know, kind of get it on another pullback if you have a holding period beyond, say, 2024. So I really think that earnings are going to set the tone for the market in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, we'll see some of this choppiness day by day, depending on what the generals do. They always sort of seem to drive the market mentality or psychology for the week.
Well, you know, Sylvia, you make a good point there. I mean, when you talk about psychology, it's almost as if it's, how could you say it? Hurry up and wait. I mean, we are looking stocks, you know, for tech in particularly. We're looking at 5G, quantum computing. We're looking at AI. These are all things which are going to take time before they come on stream. And, you know, that those things are in the price to some extent. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's, hang on a second, you know, I could get some value somewhere else right now, too.
Yeah, I think that's a great point as well. You need to diversify your portfolio, right? So I think that if you look at the broader macro, you know, kind of economy out there and some of the uncertainty in the near term, if you're looking at the short term, then I would expect traders to look in more sort of defensive sectors, or at least make sure that they're allocating to things like, you know, bonds, treasuries that pay 4%, whatever it might be, their private trading accounts where the cash could accrue 3.5%, you know, defensive stocks like healthcare and things like that. But there, the time to pick up on thematic ETFs and ideas for the future and ideas that will play out in the next few years is now. It is when you know the prices are kind of knocked off of their highs, multiples are you know cut in half or a third. And when you think about these ideas, you know, 5G is the name of a theme, right? And quantum computing and AI are the names of themes. But these companies, it's important to, number one, invest in those themes, right? So if you think about
OpenAI, for example, right? That's a big, big investment by Microsoft. That is going to be something that can be monetized. It's something that, you know, can replace workers that companies can't find, for example. There's real value to that, and it affects the bottom line. But then these themes like 5G, again, quantum computing, they require stocks like semiconductor stocks. And so those funds that hold those names, those companies are doing other things. So AMD and NVIDIA, they're part of, you know, Metaverse. They're part of running our coffee machines, electric vehicles, driverless cars, AI, machine learning. So there's a lot there.
One, do you like those companies? Are you starting to buy SMH and some of the semiconductor individual names? And secondly, because I think this can be wrapped in too, Tesla blamed China for many of its issues, saying that the challenges were largely concentrated in China. That's all changing now. There's no more lockdowns and they're getting back to business. Does that add to any optimism?
Yeah, it does. So on the first question, I do like semiconductors. I think that, you know, if you look at the outlook for the semiconductor space, and I like, you know, AMD and NVIDIA sort of most because they're well capitalized and part of every one of these revolutions, that revenue is supposed to get to about $250 billion by, you know, 2040, $200 billion by 2030. That's not so far off, right? So I do like semiconductors. They've been beat up. I think that they're going to sort of start seeing their resurrection. There's a natural tailwind for that space coming, where it's just been straight headwinds for the last 2 years. To the Tesla question, you know, order demand looks like it's outpacing 2x what the industry expected. And while, you know, Elon Musk came out and said he expects it to contract this year, you know, they do have China reopening. How much will that play out? I don't know. But with Tesla, I think that, you know, you still have this situation where the company is just by far the leader in this space. Yes, they're going to have, you know, sort of more competition, but there will also be, a higher market share for the EV space. And that also has tailwinds of Inflation Reduction Act and, you know, some of the tax credits and things like that have been passed and will go towards the, you know, the net goal of going carbon neutral. So I do think that they continue to benefit in coming years.
Sylvia, I want to get back to your point about semiconductors here. Sure, the government's giving some compensation for the loss of China as a market, but you're still talking about 30% of their market disappearing here. That's got to hurt.
30% of their market is disappearing, but large chunks of their market are reappearing, right? So the automotive industry is just highly reliant on semiconductors, and you're expecting to see, you know, massive revenue growth there. The focus of tech companies, again, we talked about Microsoft, AI, ChatGPT, you know, this week's favorite word. All of this requires, sort of managing big data, low latency. That all comes through semiconductors. You need semiconductors for natural language processing. You know, the future of 5G depends on it. So I just think that whatever is sort of lost will be replaced.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia, your morning brief on the stories making news from Hong Kong to Singapore and Wall Street.
Look for us on your podcast feed every day on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
You can also listen live each day on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, Sirius XM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Brian Curtis.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Join us again tomorrow for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Osage County, Oklahoma is getting a lot of attention right now. It's the setting of Martin Scorsese's latest film, Killers of the Flower Moon. The movie is based on a book about the 1920s Osage murders, when white men poured into Osage County and killed Osage people for their oil wealth. I'm Rachel Adams Hurd, the host of In Trust, a podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartMedia. For over a year, I was reporting a different story about other ways white people got Osage land and wealth, and how a prominent ranching family in Osage County became one of the biggest landowners here. Their ranching empire was built on land that at the turn of the century was all owned by the Osage Nation. So how'd they get it? Listen to the award-winning podcast, In Trust, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.